Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's the middle of the week already. It's September 8th, 2021. Do hope you're having a beautiful day. Hope things are going well for you. Lots to talk about this morning. And I'll tell you what, just when you think it couldn't get any crazier, it just keeps getting crazier. That's why we help you at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio and all of our wonderful affiliates across the country, including our newest in Chicago. Hello to the Windy City. We keep you focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and everything this beautiful church has to offer us to keep us going forward one step, one day at a time, to help make more disciples for the Lord and His church. So, a wonderful Catholic convert, Kristen Hawkins, who's also the president of Students for Life of America. I love her. She is a fireball. She's going to be talking to us about the craziness in terms of the response to this very strong pro-life law, the strongest in the nation so far, in the state of Texas, which the Supreme Court has left alone for now. So the left is going crazy with this. We mentioned this yesterday with the young woman, Kate Noor, from her beautiful ministry, helping women realize who they are and their beautiful dignity and how the medical community out there in general has sold women a real bill of goods and sells us short in terms of proper and real health care, right? One of the crazy stories, and I was having one of those moments with Andrew, one of those for crying out loud, Italian-American head-exploding moments, when I read the story in our headlines for our news links for today, where the city of Portland is voting to ban travel and trade with Texas because of this abortion measure. What? Now, first of all, how can you stop people in a state, in the United States of America, from getting on a plane or getting into a car and driving down to Texas? What if someone wants to visit family? What if someone wants to go on vacation? This is so crazy. I haven't seen the details of this, and I'm wondering if it's just a symbolic measure where they're going to be encouraging their people not to go to Texas. And what is so ridiculous about this whole thing, and really criminal if you think about it, is everything the left is saying is just the opposite of the reality. They're claiming that this law is hurting women. No, it helps women, because women should not be forced to choose between their situation, whatever it may be, and their own children. Not to mention the vast majority of women who seek abortions are not doing this out of quote-unquote choice. They are doing it because they feel they have no choice. So how is this a good thing for women if the majority of them deciding, God help them, to go in there and take the life of their child, they're being pressured to do so? How is that freedom for a woman? And we don't have the time on this show, although we try to give you as much information as possible. We do cover this extensively. We'll be talking about, of course, the life issues again on the new season of The Catholic View for Women, which began on Sunday night in EWTN. How is it that this choice that is supposed to be so important is just devastation for women in terms of physical problems, emotional problems, addiction problems, relationship problems? And this is the science that's out there. The studies are out there, many of which have been conducted by secular research organizations. And yet, just the opposite is presented by the world. Not to mention that the state of Texas is doing a great thing. They are dedicating $100 million and putting their money where their mouth is and helping women in need. Adoption services, financial help with taking care of children, parenting classes, other medical help for women, $100 million. I would love to see how much Planned Parenthood dedicates to that every year. Crickets. All right. So lots to talk about with Kristen Hawkins. And then we'll wrap up a Wednesday morning edition with Mari Pablo and the co-host of a new program, a video program. We say video, we mean electronic. I mean, it's so funny when you think about videos, right? And so old when we can remember popping in the old videos or the cassettes. Remember cassettes? How about 8-tracks? Who remembers 8-tracks? Let's not go there because I remember them very clearly when I started in broadcasting. I'm so old, I remember editing reel-to-reel tape. All right, I digress. Anyhow, there's a new beautiful online series, let's put it that way, with our friends at Ascension Press for young people, covering very, very important issues that are out there in the news, including race and solidarity, human life, family, and other issues that you see in the news so often. Let's look at everything as we should and do from a truly Catholic perspective, as we do here on EWTN. Let's take a look at your forecast in terms of what's happening weather-wise. We've got that Hurricane Larry that's developing, and we still have, unfortunately, more thunderstorms that are going to be coming through in parts of the country. Michigan got clobbered yesterday, as did Chicago, parts of Illinois. We have a cold front that will produce strong to severe thunderstorms and heavy rain with flooding in the northeast and mid-Atlantic. Meanwhile, a heat wave continuing in the west with numerous record high temps. And finally, we have a disturbance developing in the Gulf of Mexico. It has a medium probability right now for tropical or subtropical development before reaching the northern Gulf Coast by today, later today, or this evening, or it could move in as late as tomorrow, and we will keep you posted. Do hope you're having a beautiful summer day, because technically it's still summer on the calendar. Summer does not end until autumn begins on September 22nd. Right now, let's get to the news. There's a ton of it, as there always is. It is 6 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the one, the only, EWTN. Well, Mexico's Supreme Court yesterday invalidating several articles that protected life from conception in the penal code of one state in that country, opening the door to legal abortion. The ruling is expected to have wide-ranging effects throughout the nation. The General Secretary of the Mexican Bishops' Conference charging that the court intends a series of violations against human life by opening the doors to abortion throughout the country. He made this statement while saying Mass at the Mexican Bishop's ongoing Formation Week. The ruling of the Supreme Court currently affects only the state of Coahuila. However, it could affect future changes in the state criminal code on abortion, which could be challenged and sent to the highest judicial body in Mexico. South Dakota's Governor Kristi Noem tightening restrictions against abortion in her state. Yesterday, she signed an executive order prohibiting the use of telemedicine in the process of abortion and to restrict prescriptions for chemical abortion drugs. This comes after the governor directed a legal advisor to look into the state's abortion law and to see how it could be similar to the Texas abortion law. And a GOP Missouri lawmaker is planning to introduce a pro-life bill similar to the new measure in Texas. Supreme Court allowing to go into effect last week, the commitment made by Representative Mary Elizabeth Coleman. Missouri law already includes a ban on abortion after 8 weeks, but the state cannot enforce it while a legal challenge to the restriction makes its way through the federal courts. The other big stories we're following for you come from the Middle East. A top Republican on foreign policy has a prediction about what's to come in Afghanistan this week after the Taliban sweeping back into power.
The Taliban are not reformed. They're not new. They're going to give safe haven to Al-Qaeda. We will be going back into Afghanistan as we went back into Iraq and Syria.
That's South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham speaking with the BBC. He's not convinced of Joe Biden's plan to keep ISIS-affiliated groups on the ground in Afghanistan in check by using drone strikes. Graham saying Biden has a choice to let things get worse or go after them before they come after us. Sirajuddin Haqqani, the head of a terror group known as the Haqqani Network, who is wanted by the FBI, has now been named the Taliban's interim interior minister, which was seen by many as a slap in the face to the U.S. and other Western countries. The Haqqani Network is known to be a ruthless arm of the Taliban, blamed on attacks in the country against coalition forces. The FBI also has a $10 million bounty on his head. The Taliban has been in power in Afghanistan for just over 3 weeks, and tension in the country continues to rise. Reporter Raf Sanchez says the mood is evident in the latest protests, with thousands doing what they can to speak out against the Taliban.
We are seeing what appears to be the largest protests yet in Kabul since the city fell to the Taliban back on August 15th. We're seeing very large groups of both men and women on the streets together protesting against the Taliban.
Taliban fighters have been responding by firing weapons in the air in an attempt to break up the demonstration. So far, there are no reports of any injuries. Meanwhile, in an email leaked from the State Department and reviewed exclusively by Fox News, U.S. officials are refusing to grant official approval for private evacuation flights from Afghanistan. The State Department stating that charter flights, even those containing American citizens, would not be allowed to land at Defense Department air bases. The Biden administration's delaying of private evacuation efforts has been a widespread source of frustration, infuriating rescue organizers, along with prominent Democrats, including Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, who said in a press release issued yesterday he's not only frustrated but furious. He said he is focusing on getting planes in the air and getting people safely out of Afghanistan. The accused mastermind of the 9/11 terrorist attacks is making his first court appearance in over a year. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four co-defendants going through the justice system after a series of delays, including the coronavirus pandemic. Those proceedings are resuming nearly 20 years after the jetliner hijackings that killed nearly 3,000 people in New York City at the Pentagon and in a field in Pennsylvania. NBC News saying there isn't a trial date yet, and one won't likely come soon. New York City identifying two more people who died in the September 11th attacks almost 20 years ago. The chief medical examiner's office says the 1,646 person to be identified through ongoing DNA analysis is Dorothy Morgan from Long Island. The family of the 1,647 person who was a man has asked that he remain anonymous. Those two identifications are the first new IDs of World Trade Center victims since October of 2019. And because of new technology, officials expect to confirm even more identifications very soon. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, signing an elections bill into law.
Election integrity is now law in the state of Texas.
At least one lawsuit, though, has already been filed against a measure which Democrats insist is voter suppression. The governor, however, telling reporters yesterday the measure expands early voting to 12 days, noting that's a longer period than Joe Biden's own home state of Delaware. Abbott says the bill also makes it harder for ballot harvesting and cheating to happen. Florida seeing a downward trend in COVID cases. Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the University of South Florida, Dr. Jason Salimi, says over the last week, Florida has seen cases decrease across the board.
Adult hospitalizations and new admissions into the hospital are down 23% from about 17,000 people to 13,000 people. Adults in the ICU are down 14%.
The latest numbers from the Department of Health and Human Services showing about 25% of the state's ICU beds in use are for patients dealing with COVID. Rory O'Neill tells us a Carnival cruise ship will be hosting the first responders who helped the Gulf Coast recover from Hurricane Ida.
More than 2,500 hospital workers, first responders, and utility crews will live aboard a cruise ship while the region recovers from Hurricane Ida. Owners of the Carnival Glory reached a deal with FEMA and the City of New Orleans to use the massive ship as temporary housing through September 19th. The Glory already canceled a sailing set for Sunday and won't sail on the 12th, instead setting sail with passengers aboard again on September 19th.
Hurricane Larry is not expected to reach the East Coast, but swells from that storm could start pounding beaches from Florida to Maine, and that could happen today. Larry's sustained winds of 115 miles an hour could increase wave action all along the Atlantic coast, prompting coastal flooding at high tide. Meanwhile, the remnants of Hurricane Ida are still bringing rain to parts of the northeast and southeast. The showers are typical of late summer weather, but they're adding to the troubles Ida's destruction brought last week. And Mark Mayfield tells us about a powerful earthquake that impacted a resort area in Mexico that happened yesterday.
The U.S. Geological Survey says a 7.0 magnitude quake struck about 11 miles northeast of the coastal resort community of Acapulco. There were no immediate reports of casualties after the tremor. There are reports of damaged buildings, downed trees, and rock falls near the quake. The shaking was felt in Mexico City, but the city's mayor is reporting no major damage in the country's capital city.
Some nervous moments at the zoo in Omaha yesterday when a rhinoceros there escaped from its enclosure, forcing visitors to shelter in place. The staff was able to use trucks to keep the animal from getting to public areas.
As he would move towards the barn, we'd drive the pickups up closer, kind of encouraging him to go in that direction.
Handlers also using apples to entice the rhino back into its enclosure. Cassidy, that's the man speaking, Dan Cassidy from the zoo, says they were ready to tranquilize the rhino as a last resort, but that wasn't necessary. 14 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful middle of the week day, Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. And just when you think it couldn't get any more ridiculous, well, it does. But you know what? That's okay. Well, it's not okay, but you know what I mean. We are not to be blown back and forth like the wind. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. In the meantime, we do what we can to make a difference and speak the truth, especially about the dignity of the human person from womb to tomb. Someone who does that so well is our next guest, who is a regular here on EW10 and Catholic Connection and other shows. Her name is Kristen Hawkins, and she's the president of the amazing organization Students for Life. And she joins us up next. Stay tuned.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Fascio with an important message for Catholic families. Online education doesn't require experimental gene therapy and masks, nor be subjected to critical race theory and the cancel culture. High school and homeschool students can earn 75 college credits online and a fully accredited associate's degree for less than $4,000 a year and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. You know her well, their great work with Students for Life. Kristen Hawkins, the president, recently penned an opinion piece in the USA Today noting that the heartbeat laws enjoy support in the U.S. Well, you wouldn't know that from the way the majority of the media and, of course, what the culture is doing in terms of their reaction to the Texas law. I mean, they're running around like that robot in Lost in Space, warning Will Robbins in danger approaching. You know, it's just the opposite, Kristen. I was telling my listeners at the top of the hour, everything they're saying that we're doing against women, we are for women and children and families and men and everybody. To be pro-life is to be pro-person. And what they're saying about us, it's all lies. And the reaction or the overreaction, the overreach is really overreach. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. And yes, you're absolutely right. And that's what we've been preparing our students. Last night I was on a call with all of our leaders of Students for Life chapters across the country, disputing the lies that they're hearing on their campuses, from their teachers, and on social media. And that was the main question I got is, how can they just, the bold-faced lie? And sadly, I think as we see, our nation moving closer to a post-Roe America, we're going to hear more of these lies time and time again.
All right, so we know now, I mentioned earlier at the top of the hour, and I mentioned it to you during the break, that the city of Portland, which shouldn't shock anybody given where they are politically and what's happened there in the last couple of years, but they're going to vote to ban travel and trade with Texas because of this.
Sure, okay. If they want to take, maybe they can, like, you know, clean Antifa out of their streets and stop them from protesting and rioting their city, but, you know, I laughed when I saw that article yesterday. I mean, we've seen this happen before, you know, states saying they're not going to travel to North Carolina because of policies that their state legislature had passed in regarding to student athletes and games. It's unbelievable. I think for a lot of these measures, they'll be short-lived, but they're just a publicity stunt.
Now, your piece in USA Today, you were talking about how heartbeat laws are, there's a lot of support for them across the country.
That's right. Yeah, there actually is. And last night I was reading Rasmussen, a Rasmussen poll that was done over the weekend after the Texas heartbeat bill, after all the lies that you're hearing, the panic on CNN, every Hollywood starlet and big name musician coming out speaking out against Texas, even after all of that, in a poll that Rasmussen did, not a pro-life polling firm at all, 46% of Americans agreed with the bill versus 43% who disagreed. And there was 11% who said they were undecided. That is huge. And it's what we've been seeing for months now. We've been doing research at Students for Life Institute for Pro-Life Advancement that has proven the same thing, where we've been interviewing those in the, younger women who are in the middle of abortion. We call them the mushy middle. Don't like abortion, but and when we poll and we ask them their thoughts about abortion, when abortion should be legal, everyone always hesitates. We did a poll just this last January that found that a majority said that abortion should be banned when a heartbeat can be detected. This makes common sense to the average person that, oh, yeah, if there is a beating heart, abortion would intentionally stop that beating heart. That is violent. That is wrong.
How much of this is due to illiteracy on this issue on the part of so many who claim that they think they know all about abortion? I don't hear too much at all, except from programs like ours and networks like ours and outlets like yours, talking about the state of Texas, in addition to protecting babies, what they're doing for mothers and families. $100 million dollars dedicated, which is, we're always accused of, you only care about the baby, which is not a bad thing, first of all. But secondly, we always care about everyone involved in, in these life decisions, even though we don't get the credit for it. But they're always saying, well, what are you doing for, we are. Nobody's talking about this $100 million.
No. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We've been saying it, trying to shout it from the rooftops. It's what I was, teaching our students about last night, of all of the things that the state of Texas, the thousands, tens of thousands of women they've already served in their alternatives to abortion program just last year, and what this $100 million that they've set aside for their program for education, care coordination, material services, housing. It's unbelievable. I mean, 2020, in Texas, they serve 100,000 unique clients and their families. I mean, it is very, very important that this gets added to the national dialogue about this issue. It's not going to be, because it doesn't fit their narrative, Teresa. They have a very specific narrative of who they want to say we are and what we stand for, and supporting women and families doesn't fit in their narrative at
absolutely
all.
Or the damage that abortion does on so many levels, in addition to obviously taking the life of an innocent person, what it does to the woman, what it does to society, what it does to a family in terms of the breakdown of the relationship. It's just on and on and on. And the majority of the research done by secular research institutions and entities. We're talking with Kristen Hawkins. She is the president of Students for Life, talking about the reaction and the craziness out there since Texas enacted this very, very strong, the strongest pro-life law in the nation. I was mentioning yesterday in the first hour of my program, Kristen, do you remember that blogger a few years ago? This was under the Obama administration. She was a liberal blogger. I don't think she was from the U.S., but she was weighing in on yet another effort by the Obama administration to push abortion, and she was accusing pro-lifers of not helping women in need. And she said, I want to know what you quote-unquote pro-lifers do for women and how you help them. And she received, I think, in one day something like 13,000 responses, and she was stunned. She had no idea about pregnancy resource centers.
No, I mean, and the thing is, that blogger is not wrong. We hear this argument. Anyone who knows who's spoken out against abortion, whether it was in your parish, in your workplace, your family, you've heard that same argument time and time again. We did polling the past 2 years with our institute, and we found that the majority of people, both pro-life and pro-choice, don't actually even know where to refer a woman in a crisis pregnancy. That's why we launched this brand new campaign, Students for Life. We'll be debuting it, I think, on the 21st of September. It's called the Campaign for Abortion-Free Cities. And the goal is to change minds of those targeted by the abortion industry, activate those who should be with us in this movement, everyone sitting in the pews, and connect those in crisis to community resources that are already in existence. Because what we have found time and time again is we have over 2,000 pregnancy resource centers and maternity homes across the nation who stand ready to help, who will do anything she needs if she walks in their doors, except refer her to a violent abortionist. Yet no one knows these resources exist. As part of this campaign, we're actually door knocking, Teresa, in cities, but not for a political candidate, but we're door knocking for the pregnancy centers. And we go to the doors and we have a little chart. It shows all the services that the pregnancy center down the street from these folks offers versus what Planned Parenthood doesn't offer. And no one ever knows, because everybody knows what Planned Parenthood does. It's
right.
Astounding.
But where's $100 million from Planned Parenthood in doing these, offering these types of services? Can you hear it? Nothing. Zitch, zero, nada, crickets. We'll be right back. More with Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life. They also put together a toolkit with great slides and all kinds of great information to help you explain life and defend it. We'll be right back. Always enjoy talking with Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life. She's got a great editorial that was in the USA Today. We'll post it on our archive section. Kristen, we were chatting during the break about, you know, the hypocrisy of those who are so staunchly pro-abortion. For example, last week we had one of our own reporters from EWTN News Nightly question the press secretary about Joe Biden claiming that he is, you know, such a devout Catholic, and then turning around and going crazy. We're going to put the whole of government to make sure that we can enforce these laws in Texas and, you know, enforce abortion in Texas and elsewhere. And so he asked, you know, how could he be for this while claiming he's Catholic? And, of course, she turns on him, on the male reporter, and says, well, I know you've never been pregnant. And I'm thinking, well, gee, how do you know that? How do you know how he identifies? And aren't you for transgender and people identifying however they want, and people who could say, well, they're a man but they still want to get pregnant?
Too, Teresa. That's
right.
A new line. Yes, we're counter-protesting an event tomorrow at the Supreme Court where repro action is going to be teaching everyone who gathers how to commit their own chemical abortions, because they're so afraid of the Texas law and the Dobbs decision that will be coming down from the Supreme Court. And all of their messaging is all about pregnant people and men, and, you know, everyone, all genders is invited to learn how to commit abortions on themselves.
Oh, that's just
so there
great.
You go.
Yeah. But this is what we're coming to, and I think it's such a crisis of reality and truth, and there's so much that people don't know. I was just giving, you know, throwing off some, you know, statements that I know because of my work with people like you. You know, for example, majority of women, well over 60%, say they didn't freely choose abortion, that they were pressured to have an abortion. Just that alone should make people stop and think. Now, supposedly it's choice, but then when you come right down to it, women are being pressured, whether it's from a family member, whether it's from a spouse, a boyfriend, maybe it's from economic conditions. And here, the state of Texas, just like many other states and all these great pregnancy resource centers, are offering women real alternative. If they choose to keep their child, place it with an adoptive family, they offer them services, they offer them help, they offer them financial help, they offer them baby items, clothing items, food, parenting classes, and in many cases, Kristen, up to 2 to 4 years they work with these families.
Yeah. No, I mean, these pregnancy centers are full service agencies. I mean, I remember working at a pregnancy center. That's how I got my start in the pro-life movement. And, you know, if you are a woman who is in crisis, pregnant and unsure what to do, need support, you walk into one of these places and you say, I need help. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to feed my children, get money. These women and volunteers at these centers, and sometimes they're paid staff, will literally walk hand in hand with you. They'll take you to your appointments. They'll make sure you get, I mean, they will do everything they can. I mean, they literally exist to help save you and your child. This is the complete opposite of what happens inside of Planned Parenthood. I know, I've gone inside Planned Parenthood's pregnant. I've asked them these questions. They don't have any resources. If you go to a Planned Parenthood and you don't want to have an abortion and you're pregnant and you ask them for, I don't know, a very simple thing of like, what type of prenatal vitamin should I take if I don't have this abortion? Or, you know, is there an OBGYN that I should see if I choose not to have an abortion? Literally, the Planned Parenthoods, the federally funded Planned Parenthoods that I went into when I was pregnant, wouldn't even tell me that information. Wouldn't even give me the information. Told me to Google it.
Well, technically, they know they have adoption services on their books in terms of that's one of their services. But how many placements do they do every year? You have any idea?
Yeah, according to their annual report, which, you know, by the way, it's their statistics, I think it's like 165 abortions to every one adoption that they know about.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a real big priority for them, giving women the option of keeping their child, having the baby and then placing it with an adoptive family.
Yeah, I mean, so fascinating with this whole thing that we've been told, you know, in Senate testimonials and, you know, on CNN that abortion is such a small percentage of what Planned Parenthood does. It's only 3%, which, by the way, is done for Pinocchios from the Washington Post. It's only 3% of what they do. If it's only 3% of what they do, why is Planned Parenthood in Texas saying they're shutting their doors? They can't sustain their operation if abortions are only 3% of what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but you don't have to be an Einstein to figure that one out. 33 minutes past the hour. It is a Wednesday morning, having a great conversation with Kristen Hawkins from Student for Life. In addition to the editorial that you penned, I know you put together a toolkit, which is great. Now, my suggestion, we need to really study these things, and this is not to win an argument, but this is to help people understand the reality of the situation, because they get so blinded, they get so convinced and brainwashed by what the media tell them about the abortion and the pro-life movement. They need to do some homework, and they need to really pray about this to be able to respond and to respond with questions. They always talk about choice, 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 and my response to that is, well, but women aren't choosing this. They're being pressured. Do you know that they're being pressured, and how would you feel if you knew that something that people claim is all about choice is just the opposite, with more than 60% of women saying that they didn't choose. They were forced into these decisions. And then people look at you like, what? Are you kidding me? And then you can explain them. So it isn't about, quote, unquote, winning an argument, but we have to change hearts and minds on this.
That's actually it's dead on. There's so much that we need to do as pro-lifers. And I understand we shouldn't have to be continually educating those in our public sphere, our politicians and reporters, about the truth about abortion, because they should do their job and, like, Google it. But that's what we've got to do. So, yeah, we've got a few resources out there. I mean, this is what we're doing every day on campuses and in high schools across the country, educating students, and then we're activating them and challenging them to speak up. We just put together a new toolkit, searchsueshutdown.com. If you go to searchsueandshutdown.com, that's a little toolkit we put together for the Texas situation. It was so unique, and why the abortion industry is so afraid of this Texas heartbeat law is that it bans abortions when a detectable heartbeat is present. But it allows any American, regardless of where they live in the United States, to sue an abortionist or someone who aids and abets in an abortion that's happening in Texas after a heartbeat can be detected. That is significant. This is why the abortion industry, this is why, quite frankly, Teresa, they're always able to stop the pro-life laws that get passed in states across the country, because they file injunctions. They get a judge who's their friend to stop whoever is in charge of enforcing the state law from enforcing it. They'll file these injunctions. It takes years and years and years to make their way to the court. Well, this case is different, because in order to stop this law, they have to literally sue every single American citizen. That's how they have to stop this law. And that's why they're so upset about it. So you can go to searchsueandshutdown.com. Get the toolkit for what you can do in Texas. Learn more about Texas. We've got some great infographics you can share to kind of dispel the myths that you're hearing on social media right now. I'd also encourage folks, if you just want to get more information about how to talk about abortion in general, knowing the facts about fetal development, you can go to a free website that we have at Student for Life. It's called sflahq.com. This is a free online training portal. You can sign up and go through all of our trainings and get all of the information that we give students across the country every day who face the abortion industry head on their campuses.
We have to share the truth. We do it lovingly and with the end result of hopefully giving people more information so they can make a difference and stand up for life from womb to tomb. Kristen Hawkins, great interview. Thanks so much. She's the head of Students for Life of America. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Why is there so much division? Why is there so much hatred? Why can't we have conversations even if we don't agree on something? And what can we do about it?
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. A little bit of the trailer from the new series, Connected, Catholic Social Teaching for This Generation, from our friends at Ascension Press. It is a Wednesday morning. It's 39 minutes past the hour on EWTN. And on the phone with us is the co-host of Connected, Mari Pablo. Mari, it's interesting. We were just talking with Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life, speaking of reaching out to young people. And this series, which is designed for younger folks in the Catholic Church, there's so much misinformation out there. And especially, I think, even within the Church on the issue of Catholic social teaching, for years there has been a separation between pro-life and other people in who are concerned about the Catholic social teaching. But actually, if you look at Catholic social teaching in its entirety, it's all about pro-life. So I'm glad that you're doing this. Tell us what prompted this this new series from Ascension Press, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a conversation that we have had a couple of times, and they called me and they said, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and we really feel called to do something Catholic social teaching, and they mentioned the five topics which were covered, which is on environmental issues and life issues, race, poverty and family. And when they said it, I was so excited, because one of the things I love about working with Ascension is we really meet the needs of what the world is doing, and we're not afraid to address these topics, which you're right, sometimes it can be controversial, and sometimes people don't understand that at the root of Catholic social teaching, it's just about honoring the dignity of every single person and every single life. And if we really do care about this, then all of these five topics that I mentioned, they go together. And so this is such an important conversation to have, and I'm really excited to be a part of this, because it is very necessary. And I think sometimes when you're working with teens, it can be difficult to navigate these conversations.
Yeah. You have an amazing co-host in Father Josh, who's well known for his great homilies and his great speaking ability and his podcasts and whatnot, Father Josh Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I believe he's from the Diocese of Baton Rouge, because he actually served at a Mass for a women's conference that we had with Women in the New Evangelization and Kelly Walquist. But you've got a number of other great speakers, including our very own Chris Stefanik, as well as the Sisters of Life. So tell us, kind of walk us through the series, if you would.
Yeah, so every single one of the five sessions has three parts. So the first part has to do with people that are actually doing the work on the field. And so we have people like the Sisters of Life and Vagabonds Ministries, people that are doing the work within the church and taking action. So you kind of follow them a little bit about what their day is and how to put this into effect. The second part is Father Josh and I doing the actual heart of the teaching. So diving into, what does the Catholic Church actually say about this? What does Scripture say about this? How is it that we can look at the example of Jesus himself and what he did in Scriptures, because he cared about all these things as well, right? And then the third part is an animation portion / description of a saint that lives out this specific area of Catholic social teaching. And so really looking at the lives of the saints so that we can use them as a beautiful witness in putting this into effect on a daily basis.
So what's the target audience? What's your demographic?
So it says for this generation. The main demographic when we created it was for high school and young adults, so college age. I think it could go earlier and later. I honestly think any adult could watch this.
I was just going to say that, because I'm telling you, there's so much. We were just talking with Kristen Hawkins again earlier. There's so much misinformation, and given that, you know, we have to continue to catechize our own, this would be awesome, I think, just maybe even to share it in RCIA or formation classes.
I think anyone can benefit from this, and you are correct. I think Catholic social teaching, when you say this word or phrase, I had a family member, I was talking to them about this, and I was like, you know, Catholic social teaching, you could look at this program, they do talks around as well. And he looked at me and he just said, oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of controversy. And I was so confused, because we're not understanding. This is really what the whole church is about. It's about caring for one another. It's about honoring each life. It's about being a witness and an instrument in our world for restoration. And so I think this is a great way to shed some light on the truth of what our goal is.
And when you look at the way it's done in terms of the quality of the videos, and me being a media person and coming from television in the secular world and radio in the secular world, it has to be, we have to be able to compete in terms of solid presentations and to keep folks interested. I'm not saying to play games
Absolutely.
Or anything with the teaching, but it has to be presentable so you're willing to follow it and you're not rolling your eyes back in your head. And so the presenters you have, yourself, Father Josh, Chris Stefanik, the Sisters of Life, they're dynamic, they're fun, they're real, they're down to earth, they present it in a way it's easy to understand. And then also the way the videos are put together with music, they make it very attractive, and they make it great tools mm-hmm. for those who are teaching the faith.
Mm-hmm. That's actually huge. When teaching teenagers, they care so much about media. So the way that it's presented, even the shots and the way that things are filmed and all
right.
these things need to be very well done, because you're right, there is a lot of things that can be cringy and can put people off. So they did a very good job at that as well.
Well, talk about your own background. How did you come to work in this area of ministry?
So I grew up in the Catholic Church in a charismatic organization with my parents. And for a long time, I was the preacher's kid. And through a lot of health issues growing up, and I had my deeper conversion after high school, where the Lord kind of just wrecked my life in the best way possible. So I ended up transferring schools, transferring degrees, transferring everything, and studying theology and psychology, and really felt called to dive into youth ministry. And I used my theology and psychology degree every day. And the Lord just opened doors and put me in places. I told God, Lord, I'll go wherever you want. Just make it very clear that it's you calling me. And through the ministries and through daily walking with teenagers, there's such a need. And I absolutely love being able to get a glimpse of their hearts and where they're at, and encouraging them and helping them to seek healing and restoration in the Lord. And so it's been many years, but it's been a huge gift to just do whatever the Lord is calling me to do. And different conversations and different things have brought me to where I am today. It's all Jesus.
Good for you for using your gifts to make a difference. Talking with Mari Pablo, and she's a co-host of a beautiful series for young adults. But again, I think it can be used for all of us. We can all benefit from watching it, because, I mean, the church is so deep and there's always something new to learn. She's a co-host of this series with Father Josh Johnson from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He was well known for his great work online and his great speaking ability and all his great talks. This is really wonderful. It pulls from church teaching, from scripture, the lives of the saints. And I think, for me, I love the saints. What are some of the saints that are featured in this series, Mari?
So Mother Teresa, obviously, is going to be one of the main ones.
Right.
Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to say him. I love him. Just saying. He's awesome. Yeah.
Yes. Augustus Tolton is on there as well, and many others. And so it's really a beautiful work of different saints and looking at their lives.
Yeah, I have this great book by, what is her name? Christine Wohar, who studied the life of Finding Frassati. She was on a few weeks ago. And what I'm doing with this book is actually a devotional book, and I'm taking it to Adoration with me. And it's called Finding Frassati and Following His Path to Holiness. And it's published by EWTN, and it's so good. And I've been at his tomb and to his area of Italy many times. And he was he was only 24 years old when he went to be with the Lord. But what an inspiration, and what an inspiring person he can be for all of us, not just young people. So I'm so glad you have him included.
Absolutely.
What's been the response so far, Mari, to the series?
So far, it's been great. You have a couple of comments of people that think this is, they're not sure of what the church actually teaches, and so they think it's very controversial and political, and it's not at all that. So, but for the most part, it's been very, very positive and very grateful to have a instrument in speaking and shedding light on all these topics that are so needed for our world today.
So this was actually released, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish. I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying it's called Connected because it really shows our role and our task in how all of us, if we really care about the dignity of every person in life, it's all going to matter with everything that we do
yeah.
on a daily basis.
Yeah, everything flows together. So this was released a few months ago. I see the date of June 21st. So do you have any idea how many people have signed up for it who are getting it in terms of the reception of this?
I do not have the details of numbers, but I do know that it's been well distributed through different parishes, but also high school. A lot of my friends are using it in the classrooms, which is really exciting, and a lot of youth ministries are using it as well.
Now, in terms of this particular series, Catholic Social Teaching for This Generation, obviously this is a very deep well, so you could certainly do another series along the same lines. What comes after this? Have you thought about it?
We have not. We've mentioned a couple of things. There were some topics that Father Josh and I sat down and we had trouble seeing how we were going to fit this topic into 10 minutes. But so I think you can honestly do a whole series on every single one of the five sessions on its own.
Yeah, if you look at the topics, God's creation and stewardship, the dignity of human life, solidarity, race, and responsibility, poverty and the dignity of work, family, the foundation of society. I would say, Mari, you could do 10 series and more on each of these topics.
We actually talked about it with Ascension, doing a whole series on just each one of those. We'll see what the Lord has in store.
That's right. You take it to prayer. Okay, so when did you actually start working on this? So from start to finish, how long did it take you to pull all this together? I'm just curious.
They called me beginning of 2021. Yeah.
And they got it done by June? I'm impressed.
No, end of 2020. Filmed beginning of 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, I mean, that's a lot of work to turn this around and edit it and get it out and package, so that's awesome. So in terms of your own work, are you presenting this yourself to dioceses, or are you just now just in terms of doing the publicity, helping out with that? Do you see yourself going on the road and getting this out there in areas across the country?
I'm helping with publicity. I am open to traveling and doing that, but it's mostly just right now getting the word out there, doing what the work needs to be done, and seeing where the Lord's calling us.
And how do folks get this, Mari? Where can they find it?
So you can go to ascensionpress.com/connected, and you'll see all of the information on there.
All right, so we're talking about the series Connected, Catholic Social Teaching for This Generation, which equips teens with Christ-centered answers to society's big questions. The only thing I would recommend is to say equips Catholics, teens and other Catholics, because I think this is so important for all of us. That's the only slight edit that I would make in the press release, and you can tell my friends at Ascension Press that I said that because they know me. But anyway, this is awesome. Thank you for doing this. And really, do you have a favorite segment in the series? I mean, is there one topic that's more near and dear to your heart for any particular reason?
Oh, gosh. I like them all. It was really good doing the one on solidarity, race, and responsibility for Josh, just coming from different backgrounds, and it was just really great to work on that one. But also dignity of human life, addressing it from not just an abortion perspective, but from all perspectives, was really, really beautiful and I think necessary. And just valuing your own life, because I think sometimes we forget to value ourselves.
Right.
So that was really important for me as well.
What I think is so important about this is I'm always saying the reason the church teaches what she teaches and is so, so profound on these core issues is because they affect everything and they are woven through the fabric of our everyday life and existence. And we need to pull back and look at the big picture. So thank you for doing this. This is a godsend. I really appreciate it. But again, I really think it's great, not just for teens and young people, certainly yes, but for all of us to learn more about Catholic
and
social
families.
Teaching. And families.
This could be such a great thing to do as a family as well.
Yeah.
Walk with your teens, walk with your sisters, siblings, whoever, to bring up these conversations in light of the teachings of the church.
Yeah, absolutely. Good work, and thanks for saying yes to the Lord and for being his servant and his tool. Mari Pablo, who's the co-host of this beautiful new series, Connected, Catholic Social Teaching for This Generation. You can find more information at ascensionpress.com. Thanks, Mari. Great work. And we will be right back. It is a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Joan Lewis has had a couple of weeks off. I'm not sure when she's coming back, but she's taking some very badly needed time off, and she hasn't taken it in a while. Badly needed in the sense that she was really looking forward to her vacation. So certainly she deserves some R&R, and she'll be back with us as soon as possible. But certainly enjoyed chatting with Mari and all the great work that she's doing with our friends at Ascension. When we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. And don't forget, all of these interviews, all the information, if you're driving, keep your arms and hands inside the vehicle at all times. And then later when you get to your office or back home, when you can pull up your phone, you can check out our archive section. Andrew, my producer, always puts up all the details by the middle of the day. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net, go to Catholic Connection Archives, and you'll see the various segments of the programs along with all the details and all the links needed to follow up on any of our topics and guests. We'll be right back on EWTN on a Wednesday.
Genthy Automotive Group is a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio. The Genthy Group of Chevrolet, Honda, and Honda Power Sports is pleased to serve the Ave Maria audience with outstanding sales and service for all of Metro Detroit. As we emerge from this difficult year, the Genthy family is committed to honest and professional support for all the transportation needs of your family. They're ready to serve you 24/7 when you Google G-E-N-T-H-E. May God bless all of you.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
For someone who loves to chat and who has spent her entire adult career in communications, silencing my voice doesn't go over well with me. As a journalist, I focused on seeking truth. In recent years, truth has been suppressed and speech censored. That is what has been happening to conservative voices trying to be heard in secular media and on social media. Posting a simple prayer like the Our Father or Hail Mary has been taken down by big tech. Disagreeing with a more liberal viewpoint when it comes to politics has prompted attacks and name-calling even when you share facts to support your opinions. We must speak up in charity, in love, without judgment or reciprocating the madness. We must continue to stand up and speak for justice, for truth, for our faith and as brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek truth, and when you find it, stand up proudly, speak up eloquently, and don't allow others to silence your voice. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Dunhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Thank you so much for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't forget to stay tuned all day long, and then at night, tune in to Tracy Sabol and EWTN News Nightly, Father Mitch Live, and all our other great programs the world over, and much, much more. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.